America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Okay, we are back. It is Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. Dan Canobio, Chris Algieri. We're on the heels of Gervonta Davis and Lamont Roach fighting to a majority draw in Brooklyn, New York. A shocking night that we're going to go through, comb through, get all the details, our thoughts. Wow, what the heck happened that night with Gervonta Davis? Kudos to Lamont Roach. It was a really fun card. Gary Antoine Russell got a really nice win on there. Yoenis Teyes got a nice win on that as well. Alberto Puello got a nice win. But Chris, this is about Lamont Roach, number one, performing outstanding. Gervonta Davis, for the first time in his career, showing signs of slippage and all sorts of just lack of focus and everything that we're going to get into. Wild stuff, Algieri. The boxing world never stops. And Saturday night was another crazy, crazy night.
And it speaks to Tank, man. There's always drama when it comes to Tank. And that's why we all are so enthralled with when he fights. Good, bad, or the ugly, you know, the guy brings the drama. And he didn't disappoint once again, even though he didn't fight well. It was still a really entertaining fight. And there's a lot of controversy now because we got to talk about, you know, that knee based from, we'll get into that.
Yeah, he takes a knee in the seventh round that will be a big time focus of what we're going to talk about. Obviously, I think it was the story of the fight. As usually happens when you're a 16-1 favorite, even wider on some books, it was Gervonta Davis. And you get a draw, and a big reason for that was that knee in the seventh, which was huge moment in the fight. But the scorecards were 115-113 for Davis, then 114-114 twice. That's how you get it, a majority draw. Let's just go to the first round of this fight, where they were staring at each other, which I thought was going to be the case. You know, I talked to Tank right before the fight in his locker room, and I talked to him during the week, where we threw that stat at him, how he throws 32 punches around, which is the second lowest in all of boxing. And he's like, man, I need to up my punch volume, No, like, you're 30 years old. You're in your eighth year in your career. You're not going to change your style out of all of a sudden. But, you know, the first two rounds was a lot of feeling out and a lot of respect for each other. You can tell that these guys knew each other inside and out of the ring. So it wasn't a lot of back and forth in the first couple of rounds.
I mean, they're both counterpunchers. And, you know, as you said, there was definitely a lot of respect between the two. Obviously, everyone respects Tank. He's got the power. But Lamont, he was a bit of an unknown, but he wasn't an unknown to Tank. He knew how dangerous and how good he was, his fundamentals, his boxing IQ. So he went out there and he was very cautious early on, even more so than he usually is. I mean, Tank's a slow starter and he's cautious in the beginning and he doesn't want to get hit and he's got good defense, but he did it for way longer in this fight, more rounds, I mean. Before he started to really get cooking. So the first few rounds were really, really slow. And the kind of rounds that really, like, a single punch is going to sway the judge's favor, which as we were getting close to the end of the fight, I'm starting to think, I'm like, those early rounds, man, those are going to be really, really important depending on which way they went. And I was tending to think a lot of the early rounds are going to go to Tank based on Tank's profile, which is probably exactly how we got the scorecards that we got.
Well, one judge, Feldman, had it the first round he gave to Roach. And also another judge gave the first round to Roach as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember looking at the punch stats afterwards.
Judges gave the first round to Roach.
Yeah, I think that was probably the right call. And which, I mean, Tank almost always loses the first round. So that's not really a big surprise there. But the fact that he didn't really do much in rounds 2, 3, 4, that was a little out of the ordinary.
Yeah, Roach, he stepped on the gas pedal, Roach, I would say, in the fifth round.
Yeah, seventh is when the fight broke out. That was like
right. Fifth round, the tide started to turn a little bit where Roach was starting to say, you know what, like if he's not going to throw punches, I'm going to get a little closer. I'm going to close the distance. I have a really good chin. I have a really good jab. He was pumping that jab out there, whether he was landing it or not. He was getting the attention of Davis and keeping Davis at bay.
Well, it was the hand speed, really. That's what I noticed. Lamont's hand speed was very, very good, and that was troubling Tank early.
And one thing we saw, too, and I think this was – it got kind of buried in the lead-up. It kind of fell into the whole Tank narrative of him bringing up smaller guys and him bringing up blown-up 130-pounders, and Roach is small. Roach is not a puncher. Guys, Lamont Roach is bigger than Gervonta Davis. This guy started his career 135 pounds. He belongs at lightweight. He's going to stay at lightweight, is my guess, for the rest of his career and maybe go up even higher. In the ring, you saw a bigger guy in there than Gervonta Davis. And Gervonta Davis is more of a 130-pounder than he is a 135-pounder. 133.8 he came in on the scales for like the fourth fight in a row. And he wasn't weight-drained. And you saw him the day before the weigh-in. He did not look drawn in. He literally, that's who he is. He walks around like he is a true lightweight in the sense of
like old school lightweight. Like you walk around the weight you fight at.
Exactly. No one does that in boxing anymore. No. So I think a lot of things played out in this fight where some of the things we're talking about Roach and some of the things we're talking about with Tank in terms of the narratives around him. Everything comes out in the ring. Right, Chris?
You're under the microscope. You're naked. I always say that. You're naked out there. You're in front of millions of eyes, and you got nothing on. And what you are is what you are, and for the whole world to see. And it makes me think, you know, that when you bring up the weight, and yes, absolutely, I agree with you. Tank Roach was the bigger man that night. You can see that. Longer arms, taller, wider, everything. He's just a bigger guy. I'm sure he weighed more than Tank did. You know, we think about, I know people talk a lot about, oh, Tank's always moving up these smaller guys. Are they moving up the smaller guys because he's actually a smaller guy? I think so. It's not so much that they're trying to pick on guys that, you know, that they can, like easy pickings, like we're doing a cherry pick. It's because Tank literally is a 30-pounder. He could have made 30 this weekend. And that's a wild thing to think about. It's like, well, the money's at 35. I'm a 30-pounder, but I'm just going to fight at 35 because that's where the money's at. But we're going to pull up smaller guys. So the idea starts to show itself why they do that. Because Tank is small.
Right. And then we get into those middle rounds where the fight starts to heat up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Davis starts to find his footing and find his footwork, which I thought was not the best. I thought his footwork was not the same as the Martin fight. Just his whole demeanor, which we'll get into as well, like it was not the same. Like with Martin, he was stalking. He was predatory. He was just mean. With Roach, he was very, very respectful of everything that Roach was doing inside of the ring. You could say he was respectful outside of the ring, too, since they knew each other and all that. That's a different story. But fifth, sixth round is when, you know, we're seeing more punches being landed. You know, yeah. Tank lands 8 punches. Roach lands 7. That's like you can add them up from the first previous rounds to not get that. Sixth round, Tank has one of his best rounds. And that's what I'm starting to think, all right, this is where Tank kind of heats up. And this is where he starts to take over. And then we get to the seventh round, Chris. What the hell happened with this knee?
Listen, I'll say it flat out. That's a knockdown. And everything that happened afterwards, I mean, there's no question. Even Steve Willis, he started counting. I don't know how or why he stopped counting and then started speaking to Gervonta. This is the pros. This is not the amateurs. In the amateurs, my nephew actually told me this yesterday. He explained to me that in the amateurs, you can touch your headgear and then take a knee and, you know, to get the attention of the ref without getting hit. So you can't do that in the pros. That's an amateur thing. You take a knee in the pros, it is a knockdown. I don't care why. I've taken a knee in a fight.
Yeah, guess I was just what? About to say.
Yeah, I've taken a knee in a fight. You know, as a pro, it's actually a tactic. You do it so you don't take any more damage. You do it because you're in a bad position and you need a reprieve for a moment. But you're going to lose a point because this is a boxing match. You cannot take a break. So you're going to take a point. You can take your 8 count. And then on top of that, turning your back. You can't do that either.
That's run to the corner.
That's calls for the fight to be waved off. So it could be a point deduction. It could be actually a TKO because you're not willing to fight. And then actually, then on top of that, the corner gets up on the apron. That's a disqualification. guy, these are rules. These are the actual rules. You take a knee, it's a point. You turn your back, the fight's over. You go, your corner comes up on the ring apron, you're disqualified. So there's three infractions right there that were not penalized at all.
There was such a bizarre moment, and I'm watching from the host position with Custer and Joe Goosen, and Goosen was like, "What the hell was that?" Like, you know, and that guy's seen a lot of boxing.
Yeah.
And what Willis did, Willis had a horrible night. Yes. You know, there's people calling for the firing of him, and he had a horrible night. He made a really bad decision. And we see this, it's a human, like we're humans. So we're going to make mistakes in the heat of the moment, but it's up to the, there's a replay system in New York. Mm-hmm. There are people, officials ringside who are, should be the referees' eyes and ears to help them, their safety net. And they should be there to rectify any bad decisions that are made in the heat of the battle inside of the ring. Willis started counting. The reason Willis stopped counting is because, you know this, Chris, and maybe some fans at home don't know this. When a referee looks down, he might lose his count. He looks over to the official ringside, who is also counting along with him, so mm-hmm. the referee in the ring could pick up the count from the referee ringside, so they don't lose the 10 count. He looked over to the side and didn't see the referee counting, so therefore he stopped counting.
He didn't see the side ref counting.
Right. So they were not looking at it as a knockdown. The judge over there, as far as I was reading. Mm-hmm. And so that's why Willis stopped. Then Willis walks over to the corner and was like, "Hey man, you can't do that. That looks like a knockdown." Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't look like a knockdown. It was 100% what was a knockdown. Like, you put your knee to the canvas. There was a jab that was right before it, which hurt the eye of Davis. Davis later went on to say that it was because of grease from his hair dripping into his eye, which could easily be the case, but that's not, it doesn't matter what the reason was.
Doesn't matter.
If your knee touches the canvas, you got yourself a point deducted. I just don't understand how the commission, too, they ruled it in afterwards as the fight went on, as the seventh round went on to the eighth round to the ninth. They all huddled up and said, "No, that wasn't a knockdown." So they had time to even get it correct and then go and
still did it,
go
and still got
change it,
wrong. It.
Still got it wrong. My next point, Chris, is just because it wasn't ruled a knockdown, why can't the judges have some autonomy here and say, "You know what? I know what I saw as a judge. I'm giving that a 10-8. Or is because it unified where if the ref doesn't say 10-8, then you can't score it 10-8? Does it have to be 10-9 without a knockdown?
See, I don't know. I don't know the rules, but that would certainly hurt that judge's standing and getting jobs in the future. I'll put it that way.
Right. It would make them a hero in the heat of the moment, make them a hero.
A hero will never work again.
If they had Roach winning. But if you're a judge and you make these calls, these judgment calls of 9-9, 10-8, mm-hmm. 10-8 and 9-9 don't necessarily have to have knockdowns. There are some instances where a 10-8 round, because you think a guy's taking crazy punishment. Yep. So if with that logic, a couple of these judges could have said, "I know what I saw. That's a 10-8 round. And I'm giving Roach that 10-8 round." And then in theory, Roach gets the win because of how razor thin it is. I mean, the seventh round will go down in the history books as one of the most bizarre moments. It was not a good look for boxing. No. It was not a good look for an A-side getting preferential treatment. I don't know if that's the case, but that's certainly what it looked like. Steve Willis, who is one of boxing's favorite...
Normally a great ref.
Well, yeah, he is. But have you noticed something that he hasn't really been doing a lot of the huge, big main events in New York City? I don't know exactly what the case is here. Like,
Harvey Dock usually gets the big ones.
Harvey Dock, you're right, Chris. Why? What happened with Willis? I don't know if you know. I don't know what the case is, but when I heard Willis was doing the main event, I was like, wow. You know, I don't remember him doing a main event for a while. I wonder why he hasn't done one in a while.
He was doing the undercard bouts.
Yeah,
I saw Harvey. I think Harvey might have called the fight prior.
He did. Harvey was there. I mean, there's only X amount of these refs that they cycle through in New York and in any state. But Willis is like, you know, everyone loves Steve Willis. He got the crazy faces. He's viral online.
He loves the fighters. He loves the fights. He's in there looking like he's like enjoying what's happening. You know,
he's usually right on the money, but you cannot. There's no reason why He did not make that call. And there's also no reason why the commission, New York State Commission, they haven't said a word since this. They haven't come out and made any comments. Will they? I don't know. I wanted to see a little bit more from Roach's corner and Roach's team, like going absolutely, well, they should be going apeshit after the fight in the, like, I remember your former manager, Keith Connolly, in the Golovkin versus
Derevchenko.
Masterclass, him and Hearn in lockstep in that press room after the fight and in the faces of everyone making a stink, doing their job. And that wasn't even any controversial moments. That was just they thought that their guy got hosed. Like, we have evidence here that Roach got hosed.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that, listen, even the outcome really affects that. Like, this wouldn't be as big of a deal if Roach got the decision.
Bro, he lost millions.
Millions upon millions. And notoriety and profile. Although his profile is going to grow quite a bit from this.
Yeah, but not like, hey, I beat Davis.
No, I gave Tank his first loss. And, I mean, we're going to talk about this later. I don't think they're going to fight again either. I don't think Tank wants anything to do with a rematch.
Well, Tank said after the fight, he said, I will give him a rematch in the ring. Heat of the moment. You could say crazy stuff in the ring. You know this. Get back to the locker room. You calm down a little bit. Some of your people, your management comes over to you. He goes up to the desk, post-fight interview, and says, yeah, I don't know if we're going to be doing a rematch because, you know, the plan was I was going to call out someone in the ring. And then the journalists are like, well, who? I can't say. Well, who are you going to call out? Well, you saw he was in my locker room. And then everyone starts doing the math. The only fighter that came in the locker room of Gervonta Davis was Jake Paul.
Oh, Jesus.
Jake Paul was in attendance. Jake Paul was in attendance with his business manager, Nikisa Badarian. Do the math there.
Tank has taken losses all over the place. he didn't lose in the ring, but in terms of his profile, in terms of things he's saying, in terms of, you know, how he looks, he's taken losses.
I'm just going to say, man, like, I like Tank Davis. I have a nice working relationship with him, but you cannot deny that his image took a hit. And what it showed to me, Chris, is like every dog has its day, not in a good way. Like, he's 30-0 heading into this fight. He's the man. He's the number one ticket seller. He's a pay-per-view attraction. He knocks everyone out. He puts freaking butts in seats. That place was full to the brim.
Packed.
With like weed. I was high. Weed smoke. Yeah, I was stoned. Were you stoned Saturday night? I was a little stoned.
Yeah, I had a headache driving home.
And maybe that has something to do with me walking out of there. But the hate that came out immediately after from fighters, Devin Haney, Teofimo, Shakur, to everyone, Berlanga, to the fans who have been just waiting for this moment.
Bud chimed in too.
Well, Davis has talked shit about literally everyone too. Like, Davis was on his perch, you know, as like this PBC guy who is
who puts butts in seats, who knocks everybody out, who
and it was warranted. Like, Davis was the man. He's knocking everyone out, and you're selling out. What more can you do in this sport? Like, that's the name of the game. Make money, knock people out, fame, notoriety, and all that. So the minute he was going to slip up, and no one thought it was going to come in this fight against Lamont Roach, the minute Tank slipped up, you knew that everyone was going to come out with their pitchforks. Everyone was going to come out with their knives. And, man, I went on Twitter and it was knives out, Chris. That was just had a bad night. Steve Willis, bad night. Gervonta Davis, bad night. Lamont Roach, amazing night.
Great night. Night of his life. I mean, that's the thing. Unfortunately, we're talking about this controversial round seven and the knee and the fact that, you know, because Tank is always the story, right? And then how Tank has taken losses. But, man, Lamont Roach, great game plan, fantastic conditioning, incredible will and desire and understanding and belief, the self-belief that he had. You know, he got hit with some shots, especially left hand straight down the middle, and his nose is red. And you could see a couple of them. He got hit and he got a little rung and he started just talking to himself. He's like, nah, I got this. He will himself through, you know, the big shots of Tank. Tank normally hurts everybody. He didn't really hurt Roach much. You know, a couple times he rung him with that right hook. I think it was like round eight or nine. A couple of those other shots you could definitely see could have buzzed him, but man, he just willed himself right through it, came right back with big punches, great game plan, amazing counters, incredible balance all night long. Tank normally moves guys. I don't care how much bigger they are. He moves them when he hits them. Not Roach. Roach did not break position at all during the fight. He stayed where he was, and that's why when he was in the pocket, he was able to counter so effectively because he wasn't breaking position. Tank was not able to push him off his balance. Really, really high-level stuff from Lamont Roach.
Awesome, awesome. Great point on Roach holding his ground. And that's what shocked me the most in this was I was like, all right, this guy, you know, he's got the 10 knockouts in the 30-plus fights. And I was like, all right, that's you know, he's not going to have he might not have the power to keep Tank at bay. But yeah, he didn't exactly have the power, but he had the precision, and he was willing to stand and trade. Mm-hmm. He had the chin too.
That too.
Like we talked about this in the lead up. I'm so like go back and listen to our live show from Friday where we started the show off talking about Roach. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here, but I was like, a lot of times in these A versus B side, you know, mismatch on paper, we spend the majority of the time talking about Geronte, the A side, and we very rarely spend time on how can the B side win. How can Roach win? And that's something that, you know, we'll always try to do on this show. And that's something that we take great pride in. And we talked about, does Roach have the chin to be able to do this? Can Roach stand and trade? Is he taller? Is he athletic enough? Does he have the jab? Turns out he had all those things. It turns out that the things that you highlighted about Lamont Roach from that you saw in previous fights was what made him great in this fight. And not only that, Chris, the physical attributes that you need to beat Tank Davis or at least get a majority draw. The mentality of this guy, all lead up in the press conferences months ago, was not intimidated at all by Tank Davis, where we've seen fighters intimidated. We've seen fighters lose before they even step into the ring. And then we get into fight week, and I do some content with him, and he just was so oozing with confidence. And I'm not saying this is the biggest gauge of everything, but social media comments can be very telling. These people are either ripping you apart or they could pick up on everything. And I did a bunch of interviews with Roach, and a lot of the comments were, man, I love this guy. Like, I didn't know he had this confidence. I didn't know he had this charisma. I didn't know he had this sense of humor. Everyone in the room that we were with, PPV.com.
I'll get him.
Right. I mean, even if like you don't believe it sometimes, I was like, all right, at least, you know, he's saying that stuff. And I just felt even in his locker room before the fight, when I interviewed him, he just was calm and he was very confident. I didn't go in there and see like, oh my God, I just walked into a morgue. You know, there's a guy in there that knows he's going to lose in front of his entire friends and family. So that mixed with the physical attributes and the mental things, he was just on. 29-year-old, seizing the moment versus a guy in Tank who was flat, a guy in Tank who maybe, unfocused. You know, unfocused.
He was just not dialed in. That was the number one thing that I noticed when I said right after the fight. I mean, he just was not dialed in. And normally he does that. And even when he's a little unfocused early, he finds it. He finds his rhythm. He finds his gait. He gets locked in, and then he knocks you out. He just never got dialed in that night. Just unfocused. And honestly, I just think it was because Roach was making him uncomfortable. He was not having his way like he's used to. He was not able to outbox Roach the way he is with everybody else. Because we always talk about Geronte on our show having a very high boxing IQ, but he got taken to school. Lamont Roach was too good. He could not domesticate Lamont Roach with his boxing IQ to get in position to do what he normally does. So for me, I just saw a very uncomfortable Tank, especially the second half of the fight, which is why I said right away, I'm like, there's no way Tank takes that rematch. He does not want to be in the ring with that guy again. He was too uncomfortable. He looked too uneasy. He doesn't want fights like that. I don't see that rematch happening.
Well, if he says he don't want fights like that, I mean, Shakur Stevenson.
Yeah. I mean,
is better than Lamont Roach, but I know what you're saying though. He's bigger but he fights a similar way to Lamont Roach. I think Lamont probably is a little more pop, a little more willing to stand and trade.
Shakur is different than losing to Lamont Roach.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, 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 very different in terms of your hit to your profile. Also very, very different in terms of your bank account.
We'll get into what's next opponent-wise for Davis in a second, but like you made a good point there with Lamont Roach and like him taking the fight away from Davis is why Davis didn't look great in there. Mm-hmm. Another thing, too, is you know I get to spend time around some of these fighters, and you go back to December where I did these interviews with Geronte Davis, and he brings up the therapy sessions, which made headlines all over the place. And if you go back to that clip, which is now people are going back to it all nonstop now, And he says, I'm thinking about going to therapy, but I don't want to lose that fire that you need to be a boxer. So clearly there's something going on with Gervonta Davis in his personal life. That's fine. Like, fighters, you guys are a different breed. We're
wild people.
Right. Not only that, like, everyone goes through stuff, fighters or not. Like, therapy, like, that's not a bad thing. But you can see that, like, he's talking about retirement after that. He goes up on the stage after that press conference in December and says, I'm done with boxing. He says, I've been doing this for a really long time. He's made millions upon millions of dollars. Talk about a guy who's come from literally nothing. And now he has millions. He has an unbelievable life. I mean, it probably is really tough to go on in this sport when you have millions and you have kids now and you've turned 30 and you come from a place in Baltimore where you didn't even think you'd make it to 15, 20 years old. So we're all human, and it's easy now to do the math, right? In the lead up to the fight, I wasn't exactly thinking this. I was thinking, all right, Tank was probably having an off week in December, probably wasn't feeling great. He's a professional. He'll turn it up. He'll get into training camp. Everything I saw in training camp looked great. Fight week, I saw a guy that was focused and having fun. There was nothing like, I wasn't thinking in the back of my head, oh, he's going to be flat, or he's not into this fight, or maybe he's not taking his career serious anymore, until the middle rounds. And that's what we just started the show off by saying, is like, you get exposed inside of that ring. So now we can do the math. Now we can say all this stuff. Monday morning quarterback, literally, we record this on a Monday. Yeah, like
your revisionist history,
right? Oh, let me say this now. Like, it's clear Tank's not focused. Right. It's clear, but you can kind of make that point where I wonder what's going on in his mind. I wonder what's going on in his camp. Coach Kenny was a second.
No, so go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say that there's another point that he made where he said he was afraid to lose. Like, yeah. He didn't want to lose. There was an interview that came out Fight Week where he was like, he said that he doesn't think his ego could take it. Now that's another one. You combine that with the one the interview you did with the therapy session. I don't know. Again, we're being revisionist here, but we're looking back and in hindsight, those are very important points to be made on a fight like this, which the guy was not focused and didn't seem to be locked in like usual. You know, did we see the end of Tank Davis as the guy that we've known him as, that guy who's at the top? Is he over the hump, so to speak? I don't know, because it starts in the mind, dude. Starts in the mind. He's only 30. It's not like he's physically declining. It's starting in the mind.
Right. And these are questions that you do ask, because you've never seen him as vulnerable as he was inside that ring against a massive, massive underdog. Yeah. Who turned out to be, you know, a lot better than people thought. And yeah, I mean, these are questions everyone will be asking, because Tank, like we said, you can't hype him up and you can't hold him in such high regard as a pound for pound top 10 guy, face of boxing, and then you fight to a draw against an underdog and not ask these questions. Mm-hmm. And you know, and be, you know, 30 years old, like we just said, all those things.
Dude, Tank was getting flamed when they announced this fight. People are like, oh, there he goes, destroyed, 30-pounder. Getting absolutely flamed for picking Lamont Roach. Well,
maybe we should stop doing that, too, as fans.
yeah, let the guys fight.
Let the guys fight, and let's take, you know, let's give the B-side some credit here. And it was a fun, entertaining night. You cannot deny the people that were in that arena walked out of there a little on, you know, a little like, it wasn't like a draw. It kind of sucks, but there was entertainment.
It's anticlimactic, but it was still a good fight.
It's a great fight. I mean, people were
still buzzing, even though there was a draw. People were stunned, too. It was, yeah. Like, walking around Barclays, a lot of people were hanging out. Like, they weren't, like, weren't running.
You're right.
They weren't leaving. They were, like, just lingering and just hanging out.
That's so funny that you said that, because I thought about, I was walking out of, from the host position through the concourse, which was just a sea of humanity. And everyone just kind of standing there, not ready to go home. Like, what the heck? A draw? And I thought about taking out my camera and just interviewing random ass people about their thoughts, because everyone was just talking about the fight. Yeah, it would have been the best content ever, because it was just, the crowd was so into it. But yeah, man, from the seventh round on, after the knee, that's when things really heated up. I think that's when Davis was like, oh shit, like I might lose this fight.
I think everybody in the arena looked around and said, oh shit, like we might be seeing a massive upset right now.
Right. And that's when Roach locked in. That's when Davis locked in. That's when they started throwing some great great exchanges, some great combinations.
Awesome countering volleys back and forth. They both just kept countering each other. It was really awesome stuff, like super high level. And it made you forget how slow the beginning of the fight was. In the beginning of the fight, I'm like, come on, guys. It looks like a sparring session. Like, this is, let's step it up. And then, like, in rounds 8, 9, 10, I'm like, I'm on the edge of my seat. Like, this is what boxing is all about. This fight's great. Meanwhile, 4 rounds ago, I was like, this fight sucks.
That's boxing for you, man. And we've talked about this ad nauseum too, is like, tank with the low output. Is it going to come back to bite him in the ass? And I've asked that question to you countless times before every Gervonta Davis fight. And I wouldn't, like, it kind of bit him in the ass in this fight. It kind of bit him in the ass.
You said it. People, go back and listen to our last episode. We nailed all of this. All of this. What, you know, you would ask me, what can Roach do? I'm like, there's a lot of things he can do. And we spoke about, like you said, you guys got to go back and listen to our
you picked, our you did pick Tank decision, but you said it would go the distance.
I did say, I was telling everyone it was going to go to
the, even to go the distance was like plus 320 or something.
Yeah.
I really wanted to say that too on the air for my DraftKings thing. And I was like, my gut said distance.
Yeah.
But I went with the Tank 7-9 and I got caught up and everything else.
I originally was thinking Tank by late stoppage, but then I'm like, nah. I mean, the points that we made between, you know, the fundamentals and the chin of Roach. I'm like, nah, man, we're going the distance. I don't think he's going to be able to really get to him like that. And sure enough, he couldn't end some.
I think Davis still fought really well, and yeah. I think he can bounce back. He didn't say anything in the post fight interviews where he's like, I'm done. You know, he put out a tweet that said, I know I shouldn't have took the knee. You know, he was a little wrong about the fact that they gave the draw because of that. No, like the knee.
That's not
like
really how it works. But.
Yeah, you should have like legitimately, like if you add up the scorecards, you should have lost the fight. But he didn't say anything afterwards where it was like, I'm done. He didn't say like, he still said I got like 4 or 5 more fights in me. Who knows? Maybe he does do the rematch. I didn't see like,
which
he
is so crazy
well.
To say at 30 years old, I got 4 or 5 fights in me.
I don't know, bro. Like, he said he'd be doing this since he was 7 or 8. Like, I don't know. But my point is, like, I still think Davis fought well. He was throwing bombs, and he just was going up against a guy that was just wouldn't take no for an answer. And he was going up a guy that was just like, it was like Buster Douglas levels of motivation from Roach. I thought Davis still fought well. I still would favor him against Shakur Stevenson. I still would favor him against a lot of the 135-pounders. But he showed some signs. Like, I wonder if Lomachenko was watching and said, you know what? Suddenly my back is feeling a lot better. Let me text Carl Moretti. Suddenly I think I can beat this guy. I hope that's the case. Remember with Golovkin?
Yeah, well, I've said that. Well, Golovkin had that one fight with Rosado where he had
flu. Looked normal, where he looked human.
Human, yeah. Well, no, I've said this, and it's actually happened to me in my career. Some of my best fights came off of my worst performances. When I had an off night, it was like, oh, now it's very easy to get a fight. Now, you know, people, like you said, you're going to look at Tank now. It's like, I can see a path to victory now. I'll take that fight. I'll take less money. I'll take the opportunity. I'll do what Lamont Roach did. I'll step up. So this very well could be a good thing for not only Gervonta Davis in terms of getting some of these big fights, but the fight fans who get to see Gervonta in those big fights, because that's really what we need, right? That's the thing that we have all been yearning for watching Tank Davis. Yes, he's been this guy who's 30-0 and he knocks everybody out and he's puts butts in seats, but we want to see him with the big names. Similar to Al Shakur, we want to see him with the biggest names in the world. We want to see him with each other, honestly. So this might be that push to make those big fights happen that we've been yearning for so long.
Oh God, I hope so. I hope so. I hope it motivates Davis to want to rectify that. Whether he rectifies it against Roach or he rectifies it against Shakur or Keyshawn or Loma or Haney.
That's a good point, Dan, about, you know, use the word rectify. I want to see what his competitive nature is at this point. Does he now look at this like, nah, I got to get that back. I need to go out there and overperform next time because people are sleeping on me and I don't want them thinking, you know, this kind of way. Or is he just going to be like, whatever, off night, moving forward? Because that tells you a lot about where his mind is at, because we keep talking about his mind. If he's got that competitive nature still, because he's a super competitive guy. And I actually said that when we were in the chat. And I was thinking this. In the last show, we said, I'm like, I think these guys are going to be matching boxing wit. And the reason I thought that is because I think Tank's a very competitive guy, and he wanted to outbox the boxer. And we've seen him showing more boxing skills lately, but I think he looked at this, like Lamont Loach, like, yeah, this guy's really good. He's got a high boxing IQ. I'm going to outbox him. Watch. And then I'm going to get him.
Yeah.
It didn't work out that way because of that, like I said, that competitive nature in his mind. I'm curious to see how he bounces back from this.
That's good. And that's a theme of the show. It's like, we're only going to see it in the ring. We're going to, if next time Gervonta Davis is in the ring, we're going to see for ourselves how serious he's taking his career.
Well,
that's another thing he said all week. I'm going to fight three times. So if that's the case, he took, that's probably not happening because people were penciling in a short night against Lamont Roach to help him fight again in June. He took some shots in there. Like, he ain't fighting.
We didn't talk about that. He got rocked several times.
Staggered.
Never seen him staggered like the way he was against Roach. Several times.
I think that was because of the footwork. He just didn't show the same, like, there was a lot of things I didn't see in this fight that I saw in previous fights. Like, the Frank Martin fight, he was, like, stalking. Yeah. And his the way he was cutting off of the ring against Martin and the way he was, like, applying that pressure. And given Martin is not the same fighter as Roach. Like,
no.
Lamont Roach is a very, very good fighter. And yeah. I'm so happy for him that he's going to get respect put on his name. I hope he gets huge fights. Because he got hosed. You need that. But going back to Gervonta in this performance and what we saw from him, does this change any of this? Does Gervonta Davis's performance against Lamont Roach change your mind against for Tank against a Shakur Stevenson or any of the top guys at 135?
I've gone the bat, you know, for Shakur in that fight. I always thought that, you know, until very recently, I always had Shakur over Tank. Recently, you know, with Tank's performances and Shakur's hand injuries, I was starting to like kind of second guess myself. But I'm back on the Shakur train. I got Shakur over Tank. Listen, defense wins fights, man. If you can't hit him and you can control distance the way that he does, Shakur is a master of controlling distance and disarming you. And sure, Tank is a tank, you know, but if he can't land, if he can't get to him, and what we saw against Lamont Roach, high boxing IQ, a guy who controls distance, a guy who doesn't break position, can give him trouble. And Shakur is the best in the world at making you look bad, and Tank looked bad against Lamont Roach. So, yeah, I would favor Shakur.
Okay, but is Shakur going to stand his ground? Is Shakur going to fire back? Is Shakur going to stagger and hurt Gervonta Davis and make him think in there? That's what I want to see.
So. I don't think so. I don't think Shakur is I don't think he's as explosive as Lamont. The hand speed of Lamont was very impressive. But we've seen that in the past. Well, Shakur is there's a great saying in the gym. What is it? I'm drawing a blank, but smooth is slow. What is it?
Slow and steady wins the race.
No.
You win some, you lose some.
Oh, Dan, you're killing me here.
But, dude, just to, while you think about that, I still favor Tank over Shakur, but I think it's like, I think it's closer now, and I think fans are going to have more of an appetite for it. I just think it's just made it more interesting. I think it made a lot of things more interesting. I think it made a Lomachenko fight more interesting. I think it made a Keyshawn Davis fight more interesting. It kind of removes that cloak of invincibility from Tank. Like, that's the only thing I see here. But then again, like we just said, it could help make these fights. I don't know what Tank's plans are. The way he was talking after the fight is like they had something planned, whether it was the Jake Paul fight, whether it was something we don't know about. Because another thing that Tank told me in this December interview I did with him that just... It was kind of crazy, that interview, and the amount of things he told me in 5 minutes. He said he was going to call someone out after the fight. And I was like, oh, you do that all the time. He goes, no, I've never done that. I've never called anyone out after a fight. I do the backflip. I knock him out. I do the backflip, and then I go home. So when you have a majority draw, you're not calling anyone out after the fight. So whether it was Jake Paul, whether it was Shakur, who was in attendance, whether it was
you have no choice. You have to call out the guy you just fought, or you can't call out anyone.
Right. In a perfect world, he's fighting Roach again. But like when he was up on that press conference afterwards, he made it seem like he has everything planned out already. Like something was signed, and everything is ready to go. So who knows? Like what we'll see next from this guy? Like. in a traditional boxing world that we're not living in anymore, you fight Roach again. Then you would fight Shakur at the end. If you want to get your two more fights in again, I mean, probably just Roach and then call it a year, like fight Roach in 4 or 5 months. But it seems like he has other plans. It seems like he kept saying that, like, I'm not fighting Roach. Not next, at least, you know, that's not in the plans. So it seems like the powers that be that are looking over his career have it all mapped out.
Well, I've heard from a little Tweety bird on my shoulder that Jake Paul was being talked about even before this fight. And obviously, yeah, I saw Jake Paul there. And if you think about it, if you put the pieces together, you know, you mentioned this not traditional boxing world that we live in now. A lot of that is because of Riyadh season and the Saudis. So who's not involved with Riyadh and the Saudis? Tank Davis and Jake Paul.
And was Canelo up until, and that Canelo Jake Paul.
Right. So
guys, do the math.
We're doing the math. We're pulling back the curtain here. So it is it's as wild as it is. And you know, Jake Paul, he's on a full court press to fight a real headline boxer, you know, whether it's Canelo Alvarez, maybe Gervonta Davis.
Whether it's a 5'5" Gervonta Davis.
Yeah, he wants a 5'5" 133-pound man. Jake Paul, you saw him walking around, right?
Yeah, huge.
In the Barclays. He's humongous.
I work with the guy.
Every time I see him, I'm like, I forget how big this guy is. He's walking through the crowd. He's a very big guy.
He's huge. Like, he's over 200 pounds, and he's about 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah, big head, big, you know, he's a big guy. fighting a 133-pounder is wild. Yeah,
but that's just like what world we're living in. Like the
He would have been really big for Canelo. I was saying that. I was like, if he fights Canelo, I'm like, that's going to be a crazy size difference. And now we're talking about Tank? Come on.
Oh, man.
What a world.
I don't know.
What a world.
It's just the way boxing is. It's the way, I mean, the Jake Tyson fight, it just opened up eyeballs. Netflix was involved, and they're looking for their next big thing. It just opened up possibilities that you wouldn't even dare think of.
Well, if you're not going to go to Riyadh to make that Riyadh money, how else can you do it?
Jake Paul.
It's Jake Paul. There's two ways to make massive, life-changing, career, generational money. It is going the Saudi route while it's last, or going the Jake Paul route. That's what these guys are doing. And when you got a guy like Tank, who's been talking about retirement and talking about, I only got this many more fights at 30 years old. You know, you start trying to, you get to that point where you're not, I'm maximizing how much money I can make. I mean, do you blame these guys when they do these crazy fights? No, you're making $20-30 million, $80 million. Like, what? Come on.
I think there's still like a sense of like, oh my God, like shock value when we hear about like a Jake Paul versus Canelo, where we hear about a Jake Paul versus Tyson. And even crazier, a Tank versus Jake. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, but I'm not surprised. Like, yeah, like you said, like there's only a couple of guys that aren't doing the Saudi thing. And I'm curious to see where Tank goes with that, because, you know, they're coming to New York. I'm going to a press conference tomorrow for this Times Square card with Ryan Garcia, Teofimo, and Devin Haney. Jim Lampley, our colleague at PPV, is now calling the May 2nd card featuring Teofimo, Ryan Garcia, and Devin Haney. He is now teamed up with Saudi Arabia. Jim Lampley is back calling big time boxing. I'm so excited for him, as you know, we work with him at PPV. Just the wildest times in boxing are right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so happy to hear Jim back. That's awesome. I can't wait to hear his voice on a call once again. That's like my childhood memories. I'm immediately gonna have chills hearing that. But yeah, dude, we're in a crazy time. I mean, Times Square, and we got Haney, Teofimo, and Ryan Garcia on the same card. What the hell?
With Jim Lampley calling it.
With Jim Lampley calling it in Times Square. What the hell?
Backed by Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Backed by Saudi Arabia.
It's add that caveat as well. Yeah, crazy times, but I'm here for it, man. This is fun.
But when I opened up my phone last night and I saw a Turkey and Lampley picture, I was like, is this AI? Because it's not like I heard the rumors, and listen, we work with Jim.
Right.
Like I was sitting next
to Jim the entire fight on Saturday.
Right. And we're like hanging out in hotels, going out to dinner. Like for the last year, every big fight we've gone to, Jim has been with us as part of the PPV.com family. And to see him now like linked up with Saudi calling these fights, it's just wild. It's absolutely a crazy time. Tank Davis, a draw with Lamont Roach, right into this massive card May 2nd, you know, right into Saudi cards around the clock, top rank.
I can't wait till we get closer to that May, those May fights.
Because that weekend.
It's May 2nd and then May 3rd and then May 4th.
And then May 4th. Right? That weekend is crazy. Friday night, Friday in Times Square, this the big card with Teofimo and Haney and Ryan Garcia. Saturday morning in Riyadh, Saturday night here in the States, Canelo Alvarez makes his Saudi debut against William Skull. Sunday in Las Vegas, this is the one with the asterisk because it's not confirmed yet, Naoya Inoue versus Cardenas in Vegas on a Sunday night. In Las Vegas at T-Mobile, Inoue comes back to Las Vegas. That's just one weekend in May. I know there isn't like super salivating matchups there, but just from like a volume standpoint and just like global and just like what the heck, it's a crazy, crazy time right now in boxing.
Dan, whatever happened to the UFC? There was people telling me all the time for the past couple of years, boxing's done, UFC's the big dog now. Everybody's talking about UFC. There ain't nobody talks about UFC anymore. Well, boxing is in such a crazy place that
I'll tell you this, Chris.
We've swapped.
Boxing UFC provides like a stable, like I'm not a UFC guy, so I look at it from the outside in. Like it provides like a stability. And you're most likely going to get like a 1-2 matchup, even though they're having issues with talent and they're having issues with providing these 1-2 moments. But in terms of like Wild West, in terms of like sheer shock value and just crazy moments, headlines, I don't know what's going to happen next, reality factor. Boxing right now for the last year has been outpacing MMA in terms of that. Like, I don't know in terms of competitiveness, but we are getting big fights as well. It's crazy, man. It's a wild time. No,
We're getting more of the big fights that we've been calling for. The heavyweight division is back. That was huge. I think that was the beginning of this era that we're coming into, is that big time heavyweight boxing was back. And then we're getting these highlight fights that we needed to make years ago. The Crawford Spence was probably the first one that was like, all right, we need to make that. Then we got the Bivol Beterbiev, which now has turned into potentially a trilogy. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, we're getting these big time fights, and the shock value has been, as you said, through the roof, which has always been the thing that like you tuned in for UFC for, mm-hmm. But no longer, man. Boxing, we're doing it all.
The only knock is that it's happening in Saudi, but you know we're seeing May 2nd in New York.
He's coming up. I don't care. I really,
I know, but it's it shouldn't, you shouldn't care, but
I know a lot of people do though. A lot of
it's
people
the only
care.
Knock because they're not. The one thing with the Saudi, it's not being marketed correctly. Like we're not hearing about it. We're watching it. Like they're not doing huge pay-per-view numbers. And the last crescendo, mm-hmm. like boxing hardcore is watched, but I don't know if like mainstream, that's not what they're trying to go for. Number one,
that wasn't a crossover fight at all.
But now May 2nd, New York, Canelo Crawford, it's going to be in the U.S. in Vegas. Those are two major cards that are Saudi backed that are going to be in the States. Like these Ring Magazine was what they're calling this, is involved with the May 2nd card. And I'm pretty sure Ring Magazine, or is it Matchroom for the Boots one? I don't know for sure, but we're going to see what that is all about and what that means. Is the Ring Magazine like the American arm of the Saudi regime? Like what's going on with this TKO boxing too? Like that's Saudi backed.
I don't know, because I think White's Ring involved? Is also doing the Ring Magazine is also doing some of the European fights.
Okay.
The British fights. So I don't think they're necessarily the English arm, but they might be, I'm sorry, the American arm, but they might just be the on the road arm of Riyadh. That's their promotional arm.
Yeah, that's the one aspect of this that I don't know how it's gonna play out. Yo, what is this Ring Magazine? Like it was Jim Lampley made it I'm working with the Ring now. It's just, we'll get answers. We'll get answers as we go. And crazy times in boxing, my friends. Gervonta Davis, Lamont Roach fight to a draw. We'll be back later on in the week. We don't have any time to even talk about Gary Antoine Russell. He wants to say quickly.
What a performance. What a beast. Performance.
Beastly.
What a performance. Wow. Coming off of your first loss and a long layoff, to be that dialed in right from the beginning, super impressive. I guess a very dangerous guy. Ryo is a super, super, super highly touted guy. And it was hot recently. Very, very hot. And he got dismantled by Russell.
Dude, Russell was throwing like 100 punches in like the 10th or 11th round.
Dude, he was redlining the first four rounds. I was like, yo, he's not going to keep this up. And then he just did. He was able to like catch a second wind. And he beat the shit out of Ryo. And Ryo is a tough guy.
That was one of the best performances of the year. I think that, you know, we talk about performance of the year at the end of the year. That went into my books. I mark it down. Gary Antoine Russell, March 1st against Jose Valenzuela. One of the best performances of the year. Champion at 140 pounds now. I hope he's more active. Come on, bro. You're 28. You have his post-fight sound bites were amazing. I did a pre-fight interview with him. The guy, he can talk, and he has a personality. PBC, you know, should really push this guy. Come on. Gary Russell could fight anybody at 140. He could even go up to 147. Next episode.
I didn't realize he was so tall. He's big.
Bro, this guy is like, we're looking for talent in the sport. We're looking for guys that can fight and run that weight class. 28. And he's a freaking beast.
He fights once a year. All the Russells always just fight once a year. I don't know what that's about.
They're going to have to break tradition.
Got to. He's super talented. He's in his physical prime. His skills are off the charts. And it's, man, that gas tank, the physicality, everything. I want to see him moving. He's one of the best guys at 40 now. Like
Puelo didn't look great. Sandor Martin lost. All the guys at 140, the champions are moving up to 147. Now Teofimo's sticking around to fight Barboza, but I think Teofimo's not long for the division. No. So who knows? Either Russell will stay at 140 or he'll go to 147. I will say
If Tio leaves, I can see Russell taking over the division.
Well, he can unify with Puelo next if he wants and get some get back.
It's a very, very easy fight to make. They're both PBC fighters.
And they already fought. He can, right. Yeah, so you get, there's a get back right there. Next episode, we will break the 140-pound division down. We will break down what happens with this press conference in Times Square that I'll be at, which should be banana batshit crazy. I'm heading to Toronto. Head to Toronto on Wednesday for MVP Prospects 11. Headlined by Lucas Body, who chin-checked Ashton Silva last year, which probably knockout of the year. He's headlining. Going to call those fights with Nonito Donaire and Wade Plem and the MVP crew. So I'm looking forward to heading there. Chris,
it was good seeing Nonito. I saw him at the fight. He was at the Barclays on Saturday.
Everywhere.
I saw him on the way in. I saw him in front of our desk.
Everywhere.
I'm going to... We've got going to LA, Long Beach.
You go to California a bunch.
Yeah, ProBox TV. Well, we're on the road, and it seems like we're doing like quadrants of the country at a time. So we did Texas, and now we're doing LA, and then next.
You're doing Big Sky region, Montana?
No, I mean, I think that's not really a big market there for boxing.
No, we're gonna spit that. Back, yeah.
Then we're coming back to the East Coast. We've got we got a Philly fight and a DC fight in April. And I think we head back in June to Texas area. So we're hitting these different spots now. So
beautiful.
Getting my points in. Yeah.
Maybe later in the week we'll do some voicemails. I know people have a lot to say. I would love to hear what everyone has to say about Tank and what he can do now.
And Lamont.
Yeah. So let's fire up the voicemails and we'll be back at the end of the week with another episode. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs unless you have a hot take. Bye.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.